Okay, welcome to the Christmas edition of the No Ripcord podcast. I'm Joe Rivers, and I'm joined here today by David Coleman.
Hello.
Juan Edgardo Rodriguez.
Hello, hello.
And making his pod debut, Art Davison.
Hello.
Okay, so recently we've had the top 50 albums of 2011 published on No Ripcord. It's our annual list, and I believe this year is the 10th anniversary of No Ripcord doing their top albums of the year list. If you haven't seen it yet, then really, what you should have done. It's on noripcord.com right now. And I'm just going to have a chat about that, really, see what we thought of it. And the headline, if you like, number one, our album of the year 2011, is Let England Shake by PJ Harvey. It's been top of a number of lists around the internet and in print. So, first off, Dave, what do you think of PJ Harvey at number one?
Well, I'm pretty pleased with the choice, really. She was number two on my list, and by the time I'd finished writing the little blurb on the album, she'd probably risen to number one, because it took some writing. I think I listened to the album about another six times before I felt I could actually say something else about it that hadn't been said already. But yeah, I'm really pleased with the choice. I think it's a real worthy winner.
Juan, it was number one on your list, wasn't it? What do you think about it?
It was number one on my list, and it's the only 10 that I've given on the site as well, so I guess it speaks to how much I like the album. Not really a surprise there. I mean, it was front runner way back when it came out in February, and it simply stayed there, and it really didn't even have like a close second, at least on my list. It's not that there were a lot of great albums, but when you listen to something that's just, at least to your perspective, so complete and so masterfully made, well, that's what you get.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a runaway winner in our poll, but it was the won by quite a margin, and four separate writers out of the 26 who voted had it as their number one. Mark, any thoughts on the album?
Yeah, I think it's number five on my list, I think. Yeah, I think it's a good choice. I have my problems with it, but I think it's a very front-heavy album. I think like the second half it just sort of trails off completely, but it is probably the most ambitious album that's been released this year, so it makes sense to be number one.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I'll speak now as the only person who didn't have it in their top 15 of the year. But normally, when it comes to listening to music, enjoying music, and writing about it, I'm sort of more of the opinion that if it sounds good to my ears, then I think it's good, rather than giving it any wider implications or looking at it sort of maybe in a wider context. But I think it's quite interesting that in a year of sort of revolution and uprisings, if you like, that both the number one album and the number two album, which is Who Killed by Tuneyards, are albums that fit in quite well with that, I think. They're both sort of in-your-face, politically charged, revolution-themed records, perhaps.
Absolutely, and there's not much else of that going around at the moment.
Thing too, because I guess you have to, in terms of you making your list, Joe, I think there has to be a balance between what you feel you listen to the most, instead of just choosing something that I guess has to be that way. There are some albums where you automatically think like, oh, this is great, but I know I didn't listen to it much. So, why have the obligation of choosing it on your list? And maybe that's your reasoning on not having PJ Harvey in there.
Maybe that. Maybe the fact that I hadn't heard it by the time I made my list. That was also a consideration. That would have felt very wrong to put that on there because of that.
Have you heard it now?
I have. I've listened to it once, so I'm really not sort of qualified to comment. But yeah, I'll leave it at that. I can't really shed any sort of light on it based on one listen while compiling a list, actually. So any other placings that sort of stick out for anyone?
In a good way or a bad way?
Either.
I think Tuneyards at number two is quite a good placing. I noticed that no other list has really put it quite that high, and I'm pleased that we put it there.
Yeah, it's seeming to come sort of, well, yeah, as you say, fairly high up in other people's lists, but yeah, I was quite pleasantly surprised. I mean, Davey said that it was number one in your list. I think you're the only person who made it top, put it at the top, but still, it scored quite strongly amongst many people. The things I'd say I'm sort of disappointed with, if you like, although obviously everyone's entitled to their opinions on this, is that I think we've got Fleet Foxes at four and Bon Iver at six. And my dislike of Bon Iver and his beardy ilk is well sort of documented, I think. But I just feel that there were records that were getting highly placed, getting good reports and things written about them, just because they were follow-ups to already successful albums. I'm not sure they've been sort of considered enough as standalone records, rather than just sort of the myth. I mean, there's not an awful lot of mysticism around them, but just the reputation is getting reviewed rather than the record itself.
Yeah, right. I thought that Fleet Foxes album didn't really have a place in the top ten. And same goes for Bon Iver as well. I thought they were both slightly disappointing, really.
But the Fleet Foxes being number four, I think we're one of the publications that had it the highest. Not many people have been that enthused in having Fleet Foxes that high. And I seem to disagree, but it's the same thing that happened when the first Fleet Foxes album came out. It was way overrated in my radar, I mean in my scale, but it seems to me that this is the better Fleet Foxes album, and it's, yeah.
It was our number one, was it 2008, the debut came out?
I believe so, yeah.
It was our number one of the year, and I can't recall a more unpopular winner. We had a huge thread below the article, basically with every writer that didn't vote for it coming out saying, what, this is number one, I can't believe it, you know, it shouldn't be number one. And it seems to, the band seems to divide people, really. And funnily enough, their two records actually divide my opinion either way, because I love the first one. And I was pretty disappointed with this. I really didn't find much to come back for after two or three listens. And I paid £20 for a really nice vinyl edition, and it's just sitting on my shelf saying, you paid £20 for me, you wasted £20, taunting me. I know.
So has that tarnished your thoughts behind the album, do you think?
It has. I kind of asked if they had it before I asked what the price was, and then it just got a bit awkward, and I thought I'd best just buy it, really. The guy made such an effort to find it, I didn't have a choice.
Mark, like me, you didn't vote for the Fleet Foxes album. Any thoughts on it at all?
Like Dave, I loved the first one, and I think the second one's pretty bad. I think they're trying a bit too hard on the second one. The first one was just really nice, effortless, very classic folk rock, and this one, it's a bit the next, really. And same goes with Bon Iver as well, actually.
Yeah, I think for the Fleet Foxes one, they've still got their good three-part harmonies going on, but they sort of did that and forgot to write the songs, would be my opinion. I can just hear Juan getting more and more agitated, wishing there wasn't an ocean threshold in the group where he could come over
it's okay.
The back of the head for their pipe.
It's okay. I mean, I guess the review speaks for itself, so if anybody wants to read the review, they can go back and see why I think it's such a great album.
Why you're wrong, yeah. one thing I was pleased to see in the top ten, and I feel I'm going to get some backup here from Mark on this, was number eight, KTB, which actually I thought I saw it get to number eight, was quite surprised and pleasantly surprised, thought we'd, almost, well, not gone out on a limb, but was supporting the kind of genre of music which doesn't typically tend to perform so well in album form, and I think this record really does, and I think it very much deserves its place in there. Having said that, I've seen lists where it's actually higher. Mark, I'm hoping you're going to back me up on this one, as you voted for it, as did I.
Yeah, of course. I think it was at least in my top five, probably higher than that. It's just it's not particularly sophisticated, but it is a great album. I can't really say more than that.
In my original review, I called it the pop album of 2011, which at the time I thought was I was a bit worried because I think it was around April, and I thought if something comes out that's better than this, especially it was about 2 months before the Lady Gaga album came out, which everyone was anticipating, and I thought if, you know, I could end up with egg on my face here, but I'm pleased to stand by that 8 months on. Dave, Juan, case for the other side?
No, not at all. I think it's, you know, I haven't spent a great deal of time listening to it, but what I did hear, I think, was pretty positive, really. It's pretty innovative, exciting, you know, and you come to it and you've heard all these good things in unusual places writing about it, and you prepare yourself for a little bit of disappointment, and I actually didn't get any of that. Enjoyed it a lot.
Pleased to hear
it. I enjoy it too. I just don't like Katie B's voice to me.
I think she's got a fairly sort of inoffensive voice. I'd be surprised that you can sort of like it or dislike it or have strong feelings about it, really. It's just, I don't know.
Do you think, has she got anything else in her, or is there going to be a follow-up, or is this going to be the last we hear of KTB? What do you think?
I don't know. It's interesting because I think the whole idea for the album almost came out of it was going to be almost like a mixtape or sample record for Rinse FM, the pirate station that she's involved with, and she was just going to be a guest vocalist, and then it just sort of took over to the point where it became her debut album. So I think she's got a lot of people that she works with, people involved in Rinse, like Benga, Scream, Artwork, Magnetic Man, who actually are Benga, Scream and Artwork, I think, aren't they? But anyway, as long as she stays with them, I think she's probably got at least another couple of good albums in her, I'd say.
Good.
We're all pleased to hear that. So anyone want to jump in with anything else, maybe further down the list, that they're surprised wasn't higher or were surprised featured at all?
Sure, I can chime in on how much pedestrian indie pop we have in there.
Here we go.
And it's not necessarily that they're bad albums. I mean, I myself wrote somewhat positively about the new Tennis album, but wow, the reason that it's there, I can think about maybe 50 albums that I like better than that one. Nothing really impressive. Same thing with Cults. I mean, didn't we listen to Cults in different versions way back? Not way back, but in 2009 and 2010, it's just nothing really spoke to me about that album. And I'm sure that many people agree with me on that one. But I knew it was going to be a clear winner. I mean, I knew it was going to be on that list. It seems to be very, very instantly liked, as you can say, but it really
It just strikes me as an album that people probably put on there, having listened to it probably two or three times and no more, really. It's lightweight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas I, you know, everything on my list will have had quite a lot of time, and you know, I didn't put anything on there that I just dabbled with, really. Whereas I think Cults, you know, rewards that kind of listening. Go on, fire away.
Is this your attempt to get more weight added to your votes?
I mean, in previous years, my votes have counted double, but obviously you did the list this year.
What's the point of owning your own music website if you can't? Anyway, but no, this is all done very well.
That was a joke, by the way. Honestly, I'm always very a stickler for the rules and for democracy, often to my own disgust, really, but.
The indie auditors will be round to have a look. Well, I was quite surprised at number 34 in our list, The King of Limbs by Radiohead, and normally you'd say a Radiohead album that far down, really, but I'm surprised it made our list at all, actually. And nobody seemed to rate it particularly highly. It got sort of, people submitted top 15s of their albums of the year to Pitchfork for rating, and The King of Limbs was just picking up sort of 11s and 12s, and nobody seemed to rate it particularly highly, but I think it was almost, perhaps similarly to how it did the Fleet Foxes and Bon Iver, people were saying, well, you know, it's Radiohead, it wasn't great, but hey, it's still Radiohead, it was, you know, I gave it a chance, there was some good stuff on it, and maybe that's kind of why it's ended up higher than it has, and I would, or higher than it should have done, I'd say, and I don't have the figures to hand, but I would imagine that it's actually had more individual votes than other albums that have similarly placed on the list, but just it's got garnered lots of low votes rather than a few middling votes or a couple of high votes.
Well, it's encouraging if it's picked up more votes than Colts, because it is 10 times better. I think you're absolutely right. That's possibly why. But interestingly, that's probably the opposite to my own personal perspective on it, in that I think it's an okay album, a good album, not a great album, but because it's Radiohead and because I expect more, I think I gave it less listening time than I would have had it been a debuting act, perhaps. So I almost disregarded it because it was such a disappointment from Radiohead rather than because it was just a good album.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does. Mark, anything else on there that you're surprised or pleased to see?
I guess I'm surprised to see Arctic Monkeys, like a couple of places below Radiohead. I think, again, Radiohead is kind of the one that really leaps out as not really deserving to be on there, because I think it's actually a pretty bad album. I think it's just one that everybody heard, so there's more chance that people put it on their list, but I don't think it's a very good album at all.
Mm.
Yep. The other one, if I could just chime in, is a Foo Fighters album as well. I'm not, you know, to me that's, you know, what are we, Rolling Stone? Or what's that? Yeah, what's that doing on there, you know, in this day and age?
I agree. I mean, I'm not going to be an elitist and say that this kind of music doesn't belong on 4 hour times, I guess. I do like that album. I didn't vote for it because obviously it's not as great as perhaps it represents here on the list, but I certainly can't say that there's not a space for, you know, more traditional, you know, rock music to make these kinds of lists, because in a way, I guess with radio and, you know, it tends to get worse and worse, and maybe Foo Fighters were part of cultivating that on our radio airwaves now, you could say. But I think it's a fairly good album.
It's not bad. I'm not bashing them and saying I wouldn't listen to them. I listen to the album, I come back to the odd song, but there's just, for me, there's some really innovative records that didn't make the list at all that I would have liked to see on there ahead of it. Mm. You know, if we're doing a top 100, maybe, but I think it's 45 is a little, was it 45? Yeah, it's a little high.
Yeah, and that's the nature of the beast, I guess. There's albums that people will pretty much don't either ignore because it's not really their fancy, I guess. Like, I was a big, big fan of the Juliana Barwick album, an album that I championed since February. And I know that all the people...
To death. It is.
And all the people that I know that they probably didn't even listen to maybe two or three songs, and that was it. And I know that it's the type of album that not everyone will appreciate in the same manner, but yeah, that's how it is, I guess.
Well, I can, you know, you might have seen this, Ryan, but your constant championing of Juliana Barwick has led to you being the only person who voted for it in the end of year list. So, bad luck there, I'm afraid.
I haven't heard it. I still haven't heard it. I haven't got a copy. You know, if anyone's listening who has a copy who'd like to send me one, please do, because I'd like to hear it. You talk a good talk. It sounds interesting.
Well, it's on SoundCloud. I mean, you can listen to it not SoundCloud, on Spotify. You can listen to it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Right. No excuses.
Okay. I think unless anyone's got anything to add there, that probably concludes part one, unless anyone wants to mount an impassioned defense of anything in the lower reaches of the charts.
No, not really.
No. Okay. Right. Well, that list is still up there and will remain up there. So visit noripcord.com. And see where your favourite placed. I Okay, welcome back. Moving on to part two. Now, albums that we think should have made the list, but didn't. Does anyone want to go first on that?
Go on, Mark.
Okay, I'm personally disappointed that I'm the only person who voted for the Three Trap Tigers album. But I think probably nobody heard it at all, so that might be why.
No, I've heard it. It's a good record. It's, I'd say that's very, you mentioned the PJ Harvey one being front heavy. I think that that's extraordinarily front heavy. I think the first two or three tracks are absolutely fantastic. And if it carried on in that vein, it would probably quite comfortably be in my top 15. But it just.
That's interesting, because my complaint about it would be if I have one that is actually fairly samey. So the fact you say it's quite front heavy is not something I've really considered.
Maybe that's not completely opposite, because if it's samey, then you think the first track's good, second track slightly less good, third track slightly less good, if they're starting to sound the same. So perhaps even if it was in a different order, I'd say it was front heavy. Maybe it's just too samey, I don't know. But it's got some pretty sort of frenetic energy about it, and it deserved a wider hearing, I think. I'm afraid you were the only person who voted for it, Mark. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of the fact that I voted for it, at least. So.
anyone else who'd want to chip in with something?
Juan, have you got one? Well, I'm still thinking. So.
Oh, you mean albums that that should have been on the list?
Yeah, ones that you're personally offended that aren't, apart from Juliana Bach.
Oh, well, Dave, I can refresh your memory. We're both big fans of Ice Age.
Oh, of course, yeah. Thank you. I knew there was something I was outraged about. I'm doubly outraged about Ice Age because I was supposed to go and see them last Sunday, and the show got cancelled as well. So I had two crushingly disappointing bits of Ice Age news to deal with in December. But that was a really exciting album, I think, and I baffled how it didn't get picked up and end up on the list. You know, Ice Age, Foo Fighters, I don't want to labour the point, but...
Right. I guess I could also chime in on... There were a lot of electronic albums in there, more than other times, but the one that I think would have represented all of the others, The Field, is not there, which is a quite remarkable album. And I wasn't even a big fan of The Field, the first two albums, but this one just, wow, it was great. Much better than the Tim Hager album that actually made the list fairly high as well.
The Field is fairly close to getting in, actually. I mean, I haven't gone down further than 50, but I think it would have definitely been in the top 60. It got 3 votes, which is fairly good going. But not many albums will have got that many votes and not made the list, I think.
Mm. Right.
So, yeah, it did okay. But, Sorry, go on.
Can you start talking about Nicola Roberts? Is that what's going to happen?
I took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, I would like to talk about the Nicola Roberts album, I'm lucky here to be joined by the only other person who voted for it. I think it's I call KTB the pop album of 2011. I stand by that. Nicola Roberts' album is the second best pop album of 2011. It's, as Mark rightly pointed out in his review, it's incredible that someone from a manufactured girl band can put out such a good album. It sort of defies all convention. Mark, help me out here. Say it's really good.
I was trying to think what I could add to that, really. it's quite... I never really rated Girls Aloud at all. I think many because Cheryl Cole just can't stand her, but it is... It was such a surprise, just, it kind of came out of nowhere, and just kind of the amount of depth and bile and everything in this album, which is kind of coated in this glossy pop image, it really did deserve to have more than 2 votes.
I think so. I mean, she's worked with Joe Mount of Metronomy and Dragonette as well, so it's got some sort of fairly, fairly good people behind it, and Cheryl Cole can release anything and it'll get number one in the album charts. And I don't know where the Nicola Roberts album got to in the album charts, but not very high.
I think it was like number 20. It was really quite low down. So.
Well, Yeah, it makes me want to emigrate, really. It's a disgrace. Don't get me started on the chart placing of Countdown by Beyonce. But, yeah, so anything else anyone wants to flag up as should have been there but wasn't?
There's probably some I just can't remember. I can't even remember what my list was. I've lost it now. The Thurston Moore record was very good as well. Really enjoyed that. Did that get any votes? Any love for that album?
It got a vote by there was somebody called Dave Coleman, but yeah, it got one vote. Yeah.
Did Sean Caldwell not vote for that one?
No, he did not. No, just you, I think.
He let me down. I thought that was a really 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 great. Great solo album, actually.
He was disappointed over the fact that it wasn't there, but then again, when you're choosing 15 albums, you have to get really selective. But I guess we can speak in Sean's voice and say that he's very devastated with our list. I read his list. It's a pretty good list, but I don't know.
There's no metal, is there, on the list?
No, normally one or two sneak in, but.
And I quite enjoyed the Liturgy album. I thought that might have crept on there. That was quite good fun, slightly over the top, but.
very over the top. But it's enjoyable, nonetheless.
Yeah, and I thought it would have the crossover appeal to pull a few people like myself who don't really listen to a lot of metal for a few votes. But then, you know, I can't complain. It wasn't on my top 15. So
there's I think metal as a whole is generally pretty much ignored by the mainstream music press, which is terrible. Really, it's not my sort of thing to listen to on a regular basis at all. But I mean. There can't be many types of music which have such a strong following and the inversely proportional amount that gets written about it in the mainstream press.
But it's funny that the other mainstream, you could say, metal album that made a lot of lists was Swoops in the Throne Room, and we were the publication that panned that album, thanks to Mark.
I was the one who wrote that review. I'm surprised that so many people liked that album. I thought it was... Based on what they had done before, it was a real kind of step backwards.
If we're talking albums that surprised didn't make the list, I'll just chip in a couple that I'm not hugely championing or thinking they're the best thing that's ever been made, but just surprised that I was the only person out of all 26 writers who voted for, as they've got a bit of positive press. Firstly, Slow Club. I was the only person to put the vote in for Slow Club, which surprised me quite a bit. And also Metronomy. Didn't get a very good review on their report, thanks to Mark. But Mercury nominated, doing quite well. And just me voting for that one.
Well, obviously I'm quite pleased that it didn't make the list. I liked their last album a lot, but this one I don't understand why everybody lost their minds over it this year. I think it's a very It's an all right album, but it's nothing better than that. Although Slow Club were in my top 20, if that helps.
No, not really.
Sorry.
It just makes it slightly more agonising, I think, that it didn't make it. It's interesting. It shows the power of a bad review over the benefit of a good one, because Juan was singing Juliana Barwick's praises. Yet one bad review of Metronomy probably put quite a lot of people off checking it out. I read your review, Mark, and I thought, I'm not going to, you know, there's far too many things to listen to. So if someone, you know, whose reviews you appreciate and generally agree with says it's really bad, you think, well, I'm not going to bother going there, really. And I didn't really hear enough from the singles to really pull me back. So
I'm surprised you said it. I think the singles of Being with Riviera are some of the best singles to be released this year. I said so in my Ripcord staff questionnaire of 2011. I'm still available at myripcord.com. The Bay and the Look are fantastic songs. And as well.
And I think, did you give one of them Single of the Week?
No, I don't think I have. No.
Not quite that.
It's a tough competition. It's a much coveted award. But no, I haven't done. But
it was up there. It was a contender.
It was very much, yeah. I think I think the only one that's come up is Everything Goes My Way, which is it's very, very good song. But no, it didn't quite make it.
Good.
Has anyone else heard the Frank Ocean album?
No.
No?
I saw.
I don't like Frank Ocean at all.
It was very highly placed on the Guardian's list, wasn't it, I think?
It was, yeah. Without wishing to talk about another publication's top 50 album of 2011. It was, and I it's available as a free download, so I listened to that, and yeah, I quite enjoyed that. Surprised that that got no votes whatsoever for, go on.
No, I'm going back to hip hop, but I can follow to that.
Oh, I know what's coming here as well.
Go
say it.
I think I was the only one who voted for the Drake album, didn't I? I don't know if it was a difference between UK listeners or American listeners, but it's quite a great album, and it didn't get much appreciation.
There's a real divide in opinion, isn't there, between Britain and America over the talent of Drake, I think.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, Take Care with Rihanna, the cover of the Jamie XX Gil Scott Heron cover. Is doing quite well on the charts at the moment, got in the top 10 a few weeks ago. But other than that, I don't think Drake can get arrested in this country. You weren't the only person to vote for it, and if it makes you feel any better, I bought it yesterday.
Okay.
I do like it. But
it's quite long, but even if it's quite long, it sustains itself from beginning to end, although there's a few appearances by Lil Wayne that really shouldn't have been there. And a few lame lyrics by Rick Ross and the sort. But if you just listen to Drake as an artist and what he's trying to say with this album, there's a lot of great singles. I mean, it should have. Marvin's Room is a great song. Lord Knows Why is a great song. It just has a lot of great songs in there. So,
Juan, can I ask, for you, is it the hip-hop album of the year?
Oh, probably, yes. It was one of the most publicated as well. I think I had one or two also that were creeping there on the list. I don't remember right now which ones they are, but I'm sure it wasn't the only one.
Apparently, you heard it here first, a hip-hop album which is a bit too long. You wouldn't think, would you? That so rarely happens in hip-hop. Just going back to that, I'm going to go off on a complete tangent here. This may be a British thing, but Dave, Mark, have you ever heard of a late 80s Scottish rock band called Deacon Blue?
Yes.
Yeah, their lead singer...
I've heard of them too.
There we go, fantastic. Their lead singer is called Ricky Ross, and it makes me laugh every time that there is a gangster rapper in America who shares a name with sort of a faded late 80s M.O.R. Scotsman, but... Anyway, this is the kind of thing that just, amuses me while I go.
I would probably sooner listen to Deacon Blue as well.
They should do a duet, really.
Yeah.
No. Definitely do that. If that ever happens, we quite take credit for that.
Yeah. We want to take credit for that.
We want to organise it. We want to put on a benefit gig. No, we don't. Okay, so any other notable omissions before we move on?
Not that I can think of now, but I'm sure I'll be kicking myself later on. But no, I'm gonna have to let it go.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few, but they're mostly like left field, so it's really not worth discussing.
Okay. Well, the top 50 of 2011 is still available on record.com. Also, there is a link on there to the individual writers' list. So if you want to see what everyone actually did vote for individually. And then, if you have far too much time on your hands, try and work out the scoring system as well. That is also available.
If anyone does that, please, please let us know, because
it's not complex. But,
I'm looking at my list now, and the album I did probably want to mention was the Phoenix Foundation one. I just want to say it. I thought that deserved a placing.
Right, too late. Too late. No.
Sorry.
Okay, so that's the end of part two. Okay, welcome to part three today, our final part of this Christmas special podcast. And looking into the future now, we're starting to get lists appearing of bands and at Tip for 2012. And we're going to try and chip in with a few of our own. We take no responsibility for the success or lack thereof of any of the following artists in 2012. But does, actually no, we take all responsibility for their success and none for the lack thereof. But does anyone want to jump in with someone I think might be making waves in the next 12 months?
I guess I'll start. I mean, I've got a few. Obviously, I won't really even discuss Lana Del Rey because that's coming out really soon in January 31st. And like I said, it may be a mess, or it may be a masterpiece, or it may be highly overhyped, overrated, but I don't really want to add to that because I'll probably be reviewing it. So we'll see the final outcome there. But there is an artist that actually has been getting a lot of buzz in LA because she's an LA artist, and I've been getting a lot of emails, and she's convincing me. Her name is Night Jewel, and she's not necessarily new. She's like, this is her second album with Secretly Canadian, and her latest single is really good. It's called She's Always Watching You, and I guess maybe the hard PR push, but it's it's really convincing me. It's a really nice electronic, somewhat funky song at the same time, and she has a really not overstated, but she has a really commanding voice too. I'm really liking that song. So I'm really expecting Night Jewel to make some waves on some listeners come 2012.
Okay, so for someone like me who has never heard of Night Jewel, and you say just electronic, what kind of existing artist would you compare her to, do you think? Or fans of?
Well, it's sort of like synthy, but it has some R&B melodies tucked in there, so I guess you can sort of get the idea from there. I don't know how to necessarily place her in that case, but it's sort of like a mishmash of both.
I think crossovers between sort of electro, R&B, maybe even sort of chill wave to an extent, that does seem to be the way a lot of things are going and could be sort of fairly big sound, I think, in 2012. Almost like a sort of a downbeat, downcast R&B. I suppose actually quite a lot like Drake, actually.
I guess you can link it to perhaps Washed Out, that you seem to like Washed Out. So I don't like Washed Out. Yeah, but think of Washed Out with more personality, I guess.
So. Washed Out, but not quite so washed out.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Mark, anyone want to chip in with?
I'm not going to risk recommending any particular artist, because if I do, they'll inevitably do nothing whatsoever. But I did notice that in the last couple of months, both Pitchfork and The Guardian have been writing about Korean pop music. So I'm wondering if maybe something there will happen.
Yeah, the K-pop explosion.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we predicted it 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, where were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I live near Koreatown, and it's a whole different world over here. So, and I don't even know any Korean pop artists, so I don't know. It may be a trend. We need new trends. And Joe, I think you predicted a new trend as well in 2012, which I really liked.
Did I?
Yes.
You liked me.
It was on your list.
Oh, I thought that Steely Dan and Fleetwood Mac would be names to drop in 2012. Yeah. I generally sort of believe that. I think that does come in with what I was talking about in a sort of R&B crossover way, with electro way, but obviously they're not R&B bands. But music is sounding a lot more sort of sleek and polished in certain circles, and I think sound quality and attention to detail are becoming sort of more sort of trendy-ish, if you like, type things. And I think they are both bands with very strong melodies and very strong sort of attention to detail and polished sounds. And I just think that maybe people aren't going to come out and say, well, actually, I got into music when listening to my dad's copies of Can't Buy Thrill and Rumours. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I think there'll be a definite influence of there, whether it's subconscious or not. I did say it kind of slightly tongue in cheek, hoping to raise a bit of debate. But it is something I do sort of believe. And also, I've heard the phrase yacht rock used on more than one podcast, which
it makes what?
Yacht rock. Yeah, I think it means you wear boat shoes and listen to sleep music. Maybe a bit Miami Vice as too, but which I'm not overly keen on as a term or possibly a trend or even as a genre. But I think it's, you know, that could be something that happens.
Yeah, I think I'll
good pass.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. I think
so. 20 will be the year that you just leave no ripcord, going, I just don't understand any of this anymore.
Yeah. 2012 will be the year when I think I'm too old for this. and give up, I think.
Romance game, this music.
I find increasingly it's harder to keep up. There's so many unrelated things all around vying for your attention. It is difficult to keep up, and I increasingly rely on the writers to keep me tuned in as much as I can be, really. So I don't really feel in a position to make too many predictions at the moment.
Well, neatly sidestepped, right on there.
Yeah, thanks.
You can probably hear my phone ringing in the background. I do apologise for that.
We're so professional.
No, this is because we've slightly started a little bit later. So hopefully that's going to go away in a second, and I will tell you my exciting prediction for 2012.
Oh, we're going to hear your message.
Yeah, I think we are.
That could be embarrassing.
No, they've hung up. I'm pretty sure it's my parents. You probably hear my mobile calling ringing now in a second as well. But anyway, back to predictions 2012. I'm going to go with a band I'm not even sure quite. Oh, actually, no one said Azalea Banks, and which I was quite surprised about. But
it's because we were all expecting someone else to say it.
Yeah.
Probably.
She's so clearly going to be huge in 2012 that we're already over her, even though she hasn't released an album. For the uninitiated, if you like, 20-year-old rapper from Harlem, I think he's doing big things on the blogs, as they say. And
Them blogs,
yeah. The quite literally the blogosphere. She has a song called 212, which is a very big YouTube hit and very good. And if you like your female MCs, absolutely potty-mouthed and ridiculously rude and having seemingly enjoying a good time while they do so, she's very much up your street, I guess. The other one I was going to say is, going back to a pop tip, is a band who I can't work out whether it's pronounced Stoosh or Stooshy, but I think they're quite good anyway. It's spelled Stooshe, but the second S is capitalised, which makes me think it might be Stooshy. But they're nominated in the BBC Sound of 2012 list. They're actually, in a similar way to Azalea Banks, a loud-mouthed, sweary, having a good time and don't care who knows it kind of band. And they could end up being a bit of a in-your-face novelty that won't go away if they start doing well. But I think...
My word. Lots of swearing.
I know. Imagine that in pop music as well.
Swear wave. That's a new genre.
No, Dave.
That's amazing.
Simmer down, Dave. No.
That's amazing. Swear wave. That will cuss core.
Let's make that stick.
Yeah, swear wave. I like that. Yeah. New swear wave. Post swear wave. sorry.
Can we include Creation in that list, or is she already gone and done?
I very much like Creation, in which I think I'm probably slightly alone in that. The video for Gucci Gucci is hilarious. She's got the
most... Oh, no! Jeez, guys.
Proto swear wave.
Proto swear wave. Yeah, it's got the... She's got an outrageously sort of hipster friend with her who's just wearing the biggest glasses you've ever seen. She looks like she's becoming an owl gradually over the course of the video.
Have I guys told you this? I thought that she was even a joke. I thought she was Sarah Silverman at first doing like some skate impersonation or something. I can't stand Creation, and I thought she was even out of the radar by now, she's...
Some might say she's out of the radar. No Ripcord say that she is one of the founding members of Swearwave.
let's try to use that in at least 10 reviews in January, just to get the ball.
If you want to use that in a review, I believe February the 14th sees the release of the second Nicki Minaj album. So if that's not an excuse to use Swearwave, I don't know what is.
Okay.
Right, we all agree. We've made a pact. Anyone listening to this, you're in on this. You heard it here first. When that gets picked up by Pitchfork's Sound of 2012 or something, their review of 2012 mentions this is the year of the Swearwave explosion. Yeah, if you could refer back to this podcast, that would be fantastic. Yeah. That probably seems like a good or, I was going to say a good place to end it. It could be an awful place to end it, but I think it seems to have come to a natural conclusion.
Yeah, where do you go beyond that,
where
really?
Where do you go beyond that? If we could just stay here with creating new genres. That's for 2012, I guess. Unless anyone has any more to add?
No, I think throughout the year, we'll keep talking about there's a few albums that will come out here and there that we'll definitely discuss. So it's just a reason to keep your eyes peeled and keep listening to No Ripcord, because it'll be an exciting year.
Oh yeah, it will. First full year of No Ripcord podcast. I'm excited to record them. I'm excited for everyone else just to be able to hear them.
It's exciting. I just wanted to echo your excitement, really.
Yeah, you sound quite excited.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah. All that remains is to wish everyone listening to this a very happy Christmas. Hopefully you're listening to this before Christmas. A very happy birthday to Mr. David Coleman. I won't mention how old he is.
Thank you. Oh, you can. I'm very old.
Yep, that's officially... That's not very old. I'm not going to say in case I get it wrong, and you say, I'm not that old. It begins with 3, doesn't it?
It does. It begins with 3 and ends in 0.
Ends with 3 and ends with 30. Happy birthday to you for that.
And happy birthday!
Yeah, happy birthday. And I think, I guess, just from all four of us, see you in 2012. Keep visiting noripcord.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/noripcord, which features... fairly sporadic updates, usually from me, actually. We're also on Facebook. One update to the Facebook page every day. That's facebook.com/noripcordmagazine. And, yeah, you can get involved in any of our articles on the Discuss box below. And you can also share things on Facebook there and tweet them. Any other sort of social media web 2.0 type interactions that...
That are doing. I'm always delayed with these, but I'm still doing the songs of 2011. They're really personal choices, but I'll still be putting up songs until the year ends, and hopefully in January, by the beginning of January, we'll start with 2012 reviews. So you'll see the sporadic reviews here and there, because some of our writers just want to, they feel enthused and they want to write about something of 2011 that they thought wasn't represented this year. So, but just expect that. More reviews coming in 2012, hopefully by the first week already. So,
Hoping to hit the ground running in 2012, and hopefully you can join us all there. So,
good.
Goodbye, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year to everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.